presenter is Dr. Doug Cunningham from Phoenix, Arizona. So Dr. Cunningham is a board-certified family physician from Phoenix. He completed his undergraduate at Loma Linda University, Riverside, and received his Doctor of Osteopathy from the University of Health Sciences in Kansas City, followed by an internship and family practice residency at Phoenix General Hospital. He's a board-certified at the American Academy of HIV Medicine, and he currently practices primary and preventative health care with a focus on HIV and HIV clinical research. So with that, welcome Dr. Cunningham.
Thank you, and I hope you guys are having a good time in New Orleans. I've been here since Saturday. I hope you're getting some good food while you're here, too.
Yeah.
But I think this is a great segue into what the doctor said earlier, that I, as a physician who treats HIV patients, we have about 1,800 HIV patients in our clinic, that the psychosocial issues are so difficult sometimes. But also we worry about side effects, and I think this is one of the reasons why we did these clinical trials, and I think this is one of the reasons is because we wanted to see if there's simplification of certain regimens that might make it easier for patients and have less side effects. I remember the days when I first started doing this over 20 years ago that you had two handfuls of medication. Now we've got down to one tablet. It's amazing. Okay, so we've come a long ways. So here are some of the disclosures, the advisory committees and consults that I'm involved in, and also speaker bureaus as well. So background of this particular clinical trial was it was using a co-formulated L-bictegravir, 150 milligrams, with cobicistat, 150 milligrams, with amitricitabine, 200 milligrams, and tenofovir DF, 300 milligrams, so-called an all-one pill called Stribald, which will be STB, that you'll be seeing on the next slides, has been shown effective and safe and well-tolerated in HIV-infected patients that were naive, patients that had never seen antiretrovirals. Observational studies indicate that the virologic and clinical outcomes are better for patients treated with single tablet versus multi-tablet regimens, even among the most difficult to treat patients. So virologically suppressed patients on a multi-tablet ritonavir boosted protease inhibitor regimen may benefit from switching to a single tablet regimen such as Stribald. All right, so this is the methods. It was a multi-center, prospective, randomized, open-label study for 96-week study. We're going to be looking at the 48-week data here today. And what we looked at for eligibility was that patients had to be on a what we call a ritonavir-boosted PI with ritonavir. So I'm going to, from now on, say boosted PI plus amitricitabine, tenofovir, or Truvada, and had to have a viral load of less than 50 copies per milliliter for the last 6 months. They had to be on their first or second regimens of antiretrovirals. There had to be no history of virologic failure or no resistance to FTC, which is amitricitabine, or tenofovir on historical genotype. And they had to have a glomerular filtration rate, or GFR, of greater than or equal to 70 milliliters per minute. So the primary endpoint was looking at subjects who maintain HIV RNA viral loads less than 50 mils at 48-week data by FDA snapshot analysis. And also secondary and tertiary endpoints were looking at changes in the CD4 count, see that rise in CD4 count, also safety and tolerability of the two regimens through the 96 weeks. Patient-reported outcomes from a health-related quality of life questionnaires are important too, as we wanted to see how well they did on these new regimen. And also looking at subgroup analysis for virologic success and differences by percentages and changes in the baseline in fasting lipids with parameters and 48-week data. So here's the study design. This was the strategy of the PI, which is protease inhibitor study. And you can see here in the gray, it shows the PI, or ritonavir, plus Truvada, which I'm going to call the boosted PI, and then the orange, which is STB, or Stribald, and it was randomized 2-1, 2 to the Stribald arm, and then continuing then on the boosted PI. So as earlier, she had alluded earlier, the doctor earlier, why did patients want to switch? They had the desire to simplify their regimen, take less pills. That was 86% of what patients wanted. Concerned about long-term side effects of their current regimens, if they're on them, was 12%. Having trouble taking their current regimen on a regular basis was 3%. And also having trouble tolerating the current regimen well due to side effects was another 3%. So the PI and the number of prior regimens on the randomization here, and you can see here by the different color of the pie here that the atazanavir was 40%, darinavir in the gray was 40%, the green was lopinavir, and also fosinprenavir was 3%, and less than 1% in the red is sequinavir. So the subject disposition was there were 632 patients screened, 438 were randomized. And if you look over to the right here, you can see in the gray, you can see the boosted PI, there were 140 patients that were treated, 81% continuing, or 114, 19% discontinued for the following, which were 26, 4 for protocol violation, 8 for withdrawal to consent, and also 2 for adverse event, loss to follow-up were 5, and pregnancy is 1. Not that that's an adverse event, but they just don't allow pregnancy to continue in these clinical trials. Investigator's discretion was 3, and noncompliance was 3. And then if you look over to the left in the orange with the striable, there were 293. Remember, this is 2 to 1. And 91% continuing, or 268. 9% discontinued, or 25. 9 for protocol violation. 6 for withdrawal for consent. 6 for adverse event. And 2 for loss of follow-up. And 2 for pregnancy. So baseline characteristics of this study, the average median age for Stribold was 41 years of age and 40 years of age in the boosted PI in the gray. The overall majority were male, and they were 85% in Stribold, 86% in the boosted PI. In non-white, there were 20% in the Stribold and 19% in the boosted PI. Black or African American descent were, or African descent, excuse me, were 15% in the Stribold arm and 14% in the boosted PI. Time since their HIV diagnosis was 4 years in the Stribold and also 4 years in the boosted PI. Time since they first started their first antiretroviral in median years was 3 years in the Stribold and also 3 years in the boosted PI. So on their first regimen at randomization, most of them were on their first regimen, were 77% on the Stribold and 83% on the boosted PI. Most of these were asymptomatic HIV disease, with 73% in the Stribold arm and 75% in the boosted PI. So average CD4 count at baseline was 604 T cells on the Stribold arm, and also in a boosted PI was 624, so a pretty healthy CD4 count all around for both arms. So for co-infection with hepatitis B or hepatitis C, you can see that in the Stribold arm, there were 3% that had hepatitis B co-infection, 7% that had co-infection with hepatitis C, and in the boosted PI, you had 2% hepatitis B and 7% with hepatitis C co-infection. And for the median milliliters per minute for GFR was 111 in both arms, respectively. If you look at the primary endpoint for HIV RNA less than 50 copies, you can see here in the orange column here that 94% had virologic success of less than 50 copies per milliliter versus the 87% in the boosted PI. If you look at virologic failures, they were less than 1% in the Stribold arm in the orange and 1% in the boosted PI. No virologic data was 6% in the Stribold arm and also 12% in the boosted PI. If you look to the right, you can see the 95% confidence interval was for difference. And you can see the point was 6.7 with the whiskers going out to 13.7 to 0.4, not crossing zero. So it had a pre-specified sequential testing for statistical superiority. If you look at the bottom here in the orange, you can see the baseline CD4 count was 603 of the Stribold, and they had an average of a plus 40 CD4 count in their arm and at 48 weeks. And then the boosted PI was baseline was at 625, and they had an increase of 32 T cells. So if you look at virologic outcomes that were seen, you can see here that 93.8% or 272 were decreased. Virologically success, where the boosted PI was 87.1. If you look at virologic failures, you can see that there were 2 in both arms, or 0.7 in the Stribold arm and 2 in the PI arm of 1.4. If you look at the no virologic data skipping down, you can see 16 or 5.5 in the Stribold arm versus 16 or 11.5 in the boosted PI. And looking, I want to skip down to discontinuations to study due to other reasons, and last available HIV RNA less than 50 was 11, or 3.8 in the striatal arm, or 14 for the boosted PI, or 10.1. So virologics assessed by different subgroups, it shows here that there was really no difference between the boosted PI and the striatal arm, and actually favored the striatal arm. So whether you're overall, looked like there was no difference between the two, whether you were over 40 or under 40, male or female, white, non-white, or whatever antiretroviral agent you were on, atazanavir, darinavir, or lopinavir, or one regimen or two regimens, they all looked like there was no difference and actually looked like there was a favoring towards the striatal. If you look at no treatment emergent resistance, there was no resistance in either arm in this particular study. And if you look at adverse events, there were 79% striatal and also 74% in the PI. Grade 3 or 4 were 4% in the striatal and 8% in the boosted PI. Serious adverse events were 6% in the striatal and 6% in the boosted PI. AEs leading to discontinuation of study drug was 2% in the striatal and 3% in the boosted PI. Deaths, there were none in the striatal arm. There was one death due to bronchial carcinoma with liver metastasis, but this was not thought related to the study drug. Most adverse events were grade 1 and 2. No SAEs were reported. Adverse events leading to discontinuation were uncommon. There were no cases of proximal renal tubulopathy as well, and isolates decreased from GFR. There was one decreased GFR in the boosted PI arm. And you can see adverse events that you can see here, greater than 5% in either arm. Comparing both, you can see in the striatal and the PI arms, similar there on both sides, a little bit more with the nasopharyngitis and upper respiratory, and maybe a little bit more with back pain, but these adverse events were consistent with known safety data for striatal. So grade 3, 4 abnormalities, as you can see here, was 14% versus 23%. And again, you can go through here and look at the different abnormalities with the liver functions and creatinine kinase, hematuria, pretty much similar on both sides. Changes from baseline in serum creatinine and GFR through 48-week data. We know that changes in the serum creatinine and creatinine clearance are consistent with what we call MATE1 inhibition, the transporter, which is in the proximal tubule of the kidney. And you can see that at baseline there was an inhibition of MATE1 by ritonavir. Hence, when you added striatal, which is in the orange here, you got a 0.1 micromolar per liter increase. And also you saw a decrease in the GFR of minus 7.5. Changes from baseline in fasting lipids at 48 weeks. Overall, you can see there was an improvement in triglycerides and decreases from baseline at 48 weeks when they were switched to striatal. If you looked at the specific antiretroviral agents, you can see here with the atazanavir that there was slight increases in total cholesterol, also increases in LDL, and also some decrease is in the triglycerides. In darinavir that was boosted, you see a decrease in the triglycerides and also a slight increase in HDL. With lopinavir, which has, of course, the most ritonavir with the co-formulation, we saw the most improvements with decreases in total cholesterol, LDLs, and triglycerides. So this is where I think it's important when we get to the crux of the whole study here is that really what patient outcomes are. And if you look here to the left, you can see that diarrhea, which is one of the GI side effects, is an important side effect we deal with antiretrovirals in patients all the time. At baseline, you can see in the solid orange here, there was 44% when they were on boosted PIs and they were then switched then to striatal. But they had the 44% were having diarrhea. And then at 48 weeks, they saw that there was an improvement to 30%. And you can see here that the baseline for boosted PI in the gray, solid, is 42% and actually increased at 48 weeks to 46%. Bloating, again, in the solid here at 38%. And improved to 33%, and then the solid with the bloating with the boosted PI was 33%, and also then increased to 41%. So there were lower rates of diarrhea and bloating at 48 weeks compared to baseline. Higher treatment satisfaction scores were also seen with patients. They actually felt better. And if you look at the conclusions here, switching to striatal from a boosted PI was non-inferior in maintaining virologic suppression at 48 weeks. Striatal compared to the boosted PI and has significantly higher rates of virologic suppression actually saw statistical superiority and higher rates of virologic efficacy across the subgroups, whether it be by age, gender, race, PI use, a number of prior regimens, and no treatment-emergent resistance was seen with Strabo as well. Storiabout was well-tolerated and had lower rates of discontinuation due to adverse events. Adverse events reported were consistent with the known safety profile of Strabo. Decreases in the GFR are consistent with known copicistat, which is the booster, inhibition of the creatinine secretion. No cases of proximal renal tubulopathy were seen. And we saw across the board decreases in triglycerides from a boosted PI to Strabo. Specifically, we saw decreases in triglycerides and HDL in and total cholesterol on the lopinavir arm, which is the most prominent, and decreases in triglycerides in the atazanavir arm, and switches were increases in HDL in the darinavir arm. Subjects switching to Strabo reported lower rates of diarrhea and bloating, and also they actually had better satisfaction and felt better. I'd like to thank those investigators, research staff, and those subjects that participated in this study. Thank you for listening. Any questions that you have, I'd be happy to answer them.